Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we have a real treat today. Illinois is facing a formidable Virginia team coming on Saturday, and we have Mike Barber from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who has been covering Virginia sports, and he is going to be able to give Illini guys subscribers an idea of just what the Illini are stepping into on Saturday. And Mike, I'm telling you, the collapse at the end of the game, which a lot of people blamed on the Illini defense, but really it was a chorus of dropped passes, penalties, and turnovers that happened from the second quarter till the, you know, the end of the game that kept the Illini from putting points on the board despite a lot of yards. And now they've had that happen, which was shades of last year. And now, to make even worse, the one team that really put Illinois out of the game last year is coming to town. Do Illini fans need to head for the hills, or do we have a shot here?
Yeah, I think I'm going to put your listeners at ease a little bit when I make this point. First and foremost, it's a very different Virginia team. I don't know if it's better or if it's worse. I believe Illinois in some ways is better a second year under Bielema, at least more comfortable. But Mike, your listeners need to know it's a very different Virginia team. The design of the offense is very different. The defensive scheme, as I'm sure we'll get into, is very different. So I would throw last year out, other than the fact that, as Tony Elliott brought up this week, Illinois has probably got a ton of motivation, right? Because that game did get sideways in a hurry. And if you want to show, especially coming off the way Indiana went, if you want to show that this is a different Illinois team and a different Illinois year, this is a great game to do it, right? To make a statement and to kind of come out and to have that strong start against Virginia and win this game. So I would say the motivation factor is there if you're Illinois. But in terms of the X's and O's and the way things unfolded, I would take a deep breath and realize this is a very different Virginia team.
Well, that's heartening to find out, because very rarely you get one of those really early starts. And I am not kidding you. You know, I'm a big eater. It wasn't even 11 in the morning and Illinois was out of the game. And I'm like, holy cow, this is horrible. So with a new coach, you know, Bronco Mendenhall, one of the great names in college coaching, you know, a guy who's got a sterling reputation. What does Coach Elliott bring? What changes is this team going to have with this new coach?
Yeah, well, Mike, it's so interesting because, at least at Virginia, when we've had coaching changes, it's been because things were going terribly, right? Things are bad, you make a change. Things are bad, you make a change. You go Al Groh, and you go Mike London, and then you go Bronco. And then here's Bronco, who kind of gets things to a point where the fans feel pretty good. He had a couple real good years, and then even the last year or so, it was still bowl eligible. And then you have a coaching change. So the fans were a little bit not sure how to take this, right? they liked what they had. They weren't clamoring for change the way they were in some of those previous years. But Tony Elliott came in. He's got a great pedigree with being at Clemson, obviously knows how to win in the ACC, knows how to win in the college football playoff. He's been around Dabo and the way they really reconstructed and reformed that program. So I think there was some excitement there for Tony Elliott. And then his staff is full of UVA guys, right? That's the one knock, was he's not a UVA guy. They were in discussions with Anthony Poindexter, a former Virginia star, the co-DC at Penn State at the time. And that didn't work, regardless of, depending on who you ask, which side decided it wasn't a good fit, or they mutually decided. But I think Tony addressed that by having Chris Slade and Clint Sintem and Marcus Hagans on his staff. So I think the fans are bought in on Tony Elliott. But you know the drill. If he wins a bunch of games, they're going to be like, hey, we like yep. Tony Elliott. If they lose a bunch of games, they're going to say, why did we hire this bum? That's just the way it goes. Now, he has made some pretty big changes, I would say, schematically on both sides of the ball. Dez Kitchens, his offensive coordinator, who has some connections in the ACC, was in the NFL most recently. Their offense, as opposed to last year, where it was really designed for big play, this offense is designed to control the ball a little more, to be more balanced. Certainly when you have Brennan Armstrong, you have Dontavian Wicks, you have these weapons. I'm not saying that they're just, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Like they're going to drop back and throw it. They're going to take their shots. They had a 50-plus yard touchdown in the opener to Lavelle Davis. They had a 60-plus yard run by Armstrong for a touchdown. So they still have big play ability. But the design of the offense is different. It's more underneath passes. It's more take what the defense gives you. It's designed to be more balanced, to run the ball more in a traditional way with running backs, and to control the clock a little more. So schematically, fundamentally, that's a departure, I think, from what Robert and I and Jason Beck were doing here a year ago. And then you go to the other side of the ball, and John Rudzinski comes over from the Air Force Academy. And it was interesting to hear you describe what happened late in the Indiana game, because this defense is basically designed to give up a bunch of yards, but not yep. give up a bunch of points. Yep. Keep everything in front. Don't give up the big plays that really plagued UVA last year. And then the missing component is Virginia stunk at run defense last year. And to be honest, I wasn't blown away by their run defense against Richmond in the opener. So going into this Illinois game with a big offensive line, with a running back who has looked, and I know Wyoming didn't play particularly well, but you know, Indiana was a step up, and Brown was great in both those games. That's the area that if you're a Virginia fan, you're thinking, have we addressed our run defense? Well, here's the good news about Illinois. When they come home from Champaign, I think they're going to know if they've improved their run defense or not.
Yeah, and Illinois comes into this, Chase Brown obviously playing fantastic ball. One of the challenges that he had was, you know, got leaned on for 36 carries and did an admirable job, but he was gassed in the fourth quarter. And it would have been nice to have Josh McCray, the 240-pound sophomore tailback, to kind of go in there and give Chase a breather. And I don't know that Josh is going to play this week either. But, you know, Illinois is searching for who is going to be that second tailback to spell Chase. But this is a matchup, I guess, you know, we look at the Illinois defense as being a strong defense, but not a deep defense. Yeah. So they really have to remain injury free. And so that's the challenge. I was going to ask you one thing with the recruiting. Now I know it's still early, but you know, if what did Coach Elliott pick up from Dabo on recruiting? Because Dabo seems to like to play with the Sabins and the Ohio States, depending on who the coach is. And if Coach Elliott picks up off of that script, could be a fun decade for Virginia fans.
I don't know that Virginia is going to be in the running for many five stars. You know, we're not going to see too many of those graphics pop up where it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and UVA.
Yes.
And it's a different school and a different culture. There's an academic component that's a challenge. And you know, Tony Elliott's not going to use that as an excuse, but there is that component. No, I think the number one thing that he's done is really tried to make inroads in Virginia. People talk about, okay, how much talent is really in Virginia? Well, I'll tell you, go through Penn State, Ohio State, and Notre Dame's roster, and you can fill out a really good two deep off Virginia kids. And being from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, I mean, just the running backs, Travion Henderson, and the kid at Notre Dame. I mean, they just – there's been great talent in the state, and Virginia and Virginia Tech have let it slip away. So it's interesting here in Virginia, Mike, Virginia Tech's got a new coach at the same time. Brent Pry came over from Penn State. So he and Tony Elliott both came in with the mindset of, okay, we got to keep these blue chip in-state guys. So you talk about, you know, running with the Alabamas and the, that's where you may see Tony Elliott try to make his move, right? Some of those big time names, he's going to try to keep them in state. But a lot of this roster building, it's about keeping everybody in state, keeping so much talent, and then going out and finding a missing piece. So you got a recruiting class you feel pretty good about. It's mostly Virginia kids, but you need a wide receiver. That's when he'll go to Texas or he'll go down to Florida. But it really is about building, rebuilding the relationships with the coaching staffs around the state. You know, for Tony, he's not a local guy. He doesn't have that local connection. Yep. People know the name Tony Elliott, but again, the fact that he brought back some coaches from Broncos staff, the fact that he brought in some guys with UVA connections, that's really been the focus on the recruiting trail. And hey, I mean, if he wins, I'm not saying he's kicking five stars out of his office, but I don't think he has any illusions that the same guys he had on his board at Clemson, I'm guessing he threw that board out and got a new board when he got to Charlottesville.
You know, it's interesting, but of course, I'm sure people said that Dabo wasn't going to be recruiting the same people at Clemson that he did at Alabama. You know, it seems to me with the NIL being what it is, and certainly I would expect Virginia to have some, like Illinois, would have some fairly deep-pocketed folks who probably aren't going to play the I'm going to put $200,000 in a shoebox game. But now that the NIL program's here, maybe we'll see some of these larger academic institutions having a little bit more success if they can raise the funds. That what you were talking about is what Coach Bielema is kind of being forced to do as well, because Lovie Smith was not good at building bridges with the Illinois high school coaches. In fact, there were some days that it looked like he was trying to burn bridges with them. And on top of that, when you do that and then you don't win games, now Coach B's got to come in and try to figure out how you rebuild that. But he does have one advantage that you are talking about, which is he is an Illinois guy, even though he ended up going to Iowa for college and still has the Hawkeye tattooed to his calf. So there's some challenges there, you know, but we're looking to get that. The team is in a situation with Illinois this week. When you look at their schedule, when October hits, it gets to be a nightmare. And so they really need to come out of the first four games at 3-1 or 4-0, which is now obviously not happening. They need to come out of it at 3-1. Coming out even at 2-2 will be a challenge to make it bowl eligible when you look at the string of games they're playing. And so as much as coaches, you know, coach always, you know, Coach Bielema is all about this game right now is the most important game. But this is one of those few times that it really is. And I don't know. We'll see how that affects the game this week. They've got motivation from last year because, let's face it, that was a butt kicking. There's no other way to describe that game. And I'm not certain if butt kicking is good enough. And then you have the must win situation that they're in. How do you look at Virginia's hopes for this year? Where do you kind of put them?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mike. I look at this as a 6-win team in terms of how good the team is, but I look at it as a potential 8-win team based on their schedule, with Illinois being one of the kind of flip games that can determine, you know, where they go. Okay. It's not a terrible non-conference schedule. And in terms of the home away split, that worked out well for them in the ACC game. So I'm not thinking this is an 8-9 win team because I'm blown away by the roster. I'm thinking it's a good team. If the offensive line comes together and the run defense improves, it can be slightly above that. And then I look at the schedule and think you've got a lot of opportunity there to win games, to win some of the weaker games in the ACC. And all of a sudden, you start thinking that eight wins is very possible for this group. Again, more because of the schedule than just closing your eyes. And does that look like an eight-win team?
Right, right. And then another question for you is, when Tommy DeVito played at Syracuse, did you guys happen to have an opportunity to compete against him?
I'm trying to remember. You know, I've seen Tommy play because I cover Virginia Tech also, and then crossover. Yep. I can't remember specifically a game with him. It's interesting. I was very curious when he went to Illinois. I know there was a competition there. I'm a Rutgers alum, so I knew a little bit about both guys in that competition. DeVito always seemed like a guy with potential, right? Like you'd look at him and you'd think, okay, he can do it. And then it wasn't consistent,
yeah,
right? You'd watch and you'd say, oh, well, if that's what he's going to be, they're not going to be any good. And then there'd be a drive and say, well, if that's what he's going to be, they might be pretty damn good. So I'm very curious, and maybe I'll just hear from you, but I'll certainly see it in the game, if he's developed that consistency drive to drive. It just, he kind of always looked to me like a different player almost drive to drive.
Yeah, he. I tell you what, he's got an arm that Illinois really hasn't seen probably since Juice Williams. I mean, he can, you know, you talk about, you know, the NFL wants to see you throw that 15 or 20 yard out. Well, Tommy can throw that. And his accuracy has not been, he's not a like Illinois had Kurt Kitner back in 2001. And I was in the era of Dave Wilson, Tony Eason, Jack Trudeau. He doesn't have the accuracy of those quarterbacks, but he hasn't been the problem. You know, again, if Illinois doesn't drop six balls, right, they win at Indiana, and nobody's, you know, up in arms. He's been kept upright for most of the time. You can tell he's a fighter. He's got that plucky ability. Again, I'd love to see him be just a smidge more accurate across the board, but trying to think what quarterback I couldn't say that about outside of like Tom Brady and, you know,
sure,
a couple others.
Yeah.
Any questions that you have on the Illini team that you were looking as you were analyzing the game?
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the idea of depth, because one of the things that has been a problem for Virginia in terms of drop passes, fumbles, it's been late in practice, late in scrimmage, late in games, because their first line players are playing so many snaps.
Yep.
And so I was sort of curious on the flip side, if Illinois is dealing with the same thing or if there's a little more depth there. Well, you talked about a little bit with Chase Brown. I was wondering, is there anybody to spell him? How deep is that receiving core? Because, again, the way this Virginia defense is now designed, I think is it Isaiah Williams?
Yes.
Number one, I'm like the coaches now. I just get the numbers and then I have to go back.
I'm the same way.
But he looks to me like the kind of guy who could determine this game in that he's going to catch 10 balls against Virginia. If it's 10 balls for 76 yards, Virginia's going to feel really good that they did what they wanted, keep everything in front of them. If it's 10 balls for 154 yards and two scores, it means that Virginia's defense cracked. So I was curious who else kind of maybe fits that mold, and just what is the depth situation on that Illinois team?
Yeah, unfortunately on the offense, Isaiah's the one clear-cut guy who gets separation. And that's probably the biggest challenge from the wide receiver standpoint. Now, they do have a couple of larger wide receivers that, will help out, you know, but again, in terms of people who can actually stretch the field and force defensive backs to give them a little space, it's Isaiah. And the thing that is very interesting about him is he's not a big guy, but he is a guy who each game has had two pass receptions where he gets an additional 15, 20 yards. Based on one thing alone, and that's just effort, you know, and you don't always see that. You're used to seeing that out of your bigger receivers. You're not used to seeing it out of your smaller receivers. Hightower had a really nice, he had a couple nice plays last weekend. Bryant, those guys have some size. So the Illinois is really looking for a second wide receiver to step up. Somebody needs to say, this is my job. I'm going to grab it and take it. And that's what they need. And then the other thing that has been very disappointing is that the tight ends haven't been as impactful as we thought. Luke Ford, of course, was ranked very highly, was originally went to Georgia, came back to Illinois, hasn't made the impact that people expect of him. But then on the other hand, sometimes when mistakes happen out there, he just gets blamed for it. There's a couple of plays that people thought, well, that's Luke Ford's fault, and that Coach B had to come out and kind of explain. So, you know, he's become a little bit of, when people are frustrated, it becomes him. Sure. Tip Ryman, another really good guy, you know, played well in the preseason. We're looking for to get a little bit of separation there. And to be honest with you, they're asked to block a lot. So Illinois tight ends, you know, much like a Wisconsin or Iowa tight end, they can take some grief for missing blocks that other tight ends have never even dealt with in their life.
Sure.
So that's a little bit of a change. And you know, as you look at it, the backup, you know, we're going to try to see who's going to step up to play that backup tailback position. And that's one that, again, as you look at the players, you want to know who's going to step up. There's a whole squad of guys who, in theory, you know, have played a little bit and could be the next man up, but they have to put production up on the field. And, you know, Aiden Lowry, a freshman out of Gibson City, which is a small town just outside of Champaign, who's had some impressive football teams the last 3 or 4 years, is one that he's got the speed. He's coming off of an injury. We'll see how he does. It would be nice to see the hometown kid. You'll see the crowd be pumped up if he gets in the game and makes a difference. So it's a lot on the offensive side about, are these guys going to grab a hold of the opportunity that they have and make a name for themselves?
Well, they may have an opportunity again against that defense at Virginia. So, you know, this might be a game where you end up playing three tailbacks because everybody's making yards. Certainly Virginia fans don't want to hear that. And they hope that, you know, they hope Richmond was the worst run defense they play this year and that everything's trending in a better direction. But I would imagine if you're Illinois, you're going to come out and run the ball until Virginia shows they can stop it.
Yeah. And Illinois on the defensive line and linebacker positions are probably where they're the strongest. Newton, you know, a big number four, had a spectacular game last week. Keith Randolph, and those two are guys who will probably end up in the NFL. And for Illinois fans, we hope it's later rather than sooner. But those are guys who they attract a lot of attention, which allows linebackers to many times, you know, not have to be blocked as well. They've got a strong secondary. The issue comes in is, you know, when you go from first string to second string, and that's what happens when you are on your 10th year of not having a winning record. That's the mountain that's in front of Coach Bielema is really my era. I'm 55. My era, we had the Illini of the 80s and early 90s who were, you know, top 20 type of teams for a decade. And then other than three seasons, from 92 on, it's been a dead zone. And now Coach B's got to come in and kind of with these kids raise this program from, quite honestly, the dead.
Sure.
And it's tough. Now I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. So I love doing this.
Sure.
So we see college expansion, and we know that it's going to be hard for the ACC to break up. Yet at the same time, one wonders if the ESPN at some point may decide that, you know, merging the ACC and the SEC might be better for ESPN, and maybe they'll let people out of that contract, you know, or they'll influence the ACC to do so. Boy, us Big Ten fans, we look at Virginia and we look at North Carolina with their academic, you know, merits, and we look at their football teams and their basketball teams, and we say, that's a Big Ten school. But let's say that Virginia had the opportunity to pick a SEC or a Big Ten direction. Where do you think they would go? You're covering this area. You know it better than anybody. What were your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think that the Virginia-Carolina duo are kind of linked. And it's funny because people think Carolina and Duke, and people think Virginia and Virginia Tech. But in terms of conference realignment, I think you're hitting it right on the head. It's Virginia and Carolina. I think the Big Ten is the fit because, again, that's going to be a move that the presidents have to be behind. So it isn't about who won the most national championships, right? It isn't about the current TV contract. It's going to be about other things and what value does it bring to the university academically and in those other areas. And that's where I do think that the Big Ten is the fit. And honestly, if you had asked me a week ago, I would have said good chance that Virginia and Carolina are playing in the Big Ten in the next 3 or 4 years. Now, with the expansion of the college football playoff, I think that's a little bit off the table right now. To me, the fact that that went through as it did tells me that the SEC and the Big Ten, we thought we were on the crazy train, right? Heading towards two super conferences, everybody else is left out. But when they allowed the playoff to expand and they included guaranteed spots for the other leagues, that told me that the Big Ten and the SEC aren't interested in killing off the ACC, the Pac-12, the Big 12, at least not at the moment.
Right.
There's a value to having leagues that you are far superior to, right? I mean, the Big Ten and SEC feel great about where they are and maybe thinking, hey, instead of killing them off and now it's just the two of us, hey, let's keep the five and then the group of five teams keep and just be clearly the best, right? You got to imagine the Big Ten, the SEC, they're going to get more than their share of teams in the college football playoffs. So my assumption now is that ESPN and those leagues and Fox and whoever they end up signing with all their streaming partnerships, they've decided that the better thing to do is to have all these leagues out there and just make it clear that the brands that rule the roost are the SEC and the Big Ten. And that's good for the ACC because it keeps them viable. It keeps them alive and gives them an opportunity to try to come up with their own way to bridge that gap. Right. They've brought in consultants now, revenue consultants, to try to find ways to generate revenue before it's time for a new TV contract. Look, they're not going to make up the gap. That's not going to happen right now. But how can they generate more revenue, get it a little bit closer, just so teams aren't thinking about it? Teams aren't talking about it. You know, the ACC's had good success on the field. It hasn't had the depth of success it needed. And it hasn't cashed in on the TV side. And those are the two things that are holding them back.
Yeah. And I kind of looked at that originally. I thought, well, now we've got a reason for the ACC, Big 12, Pac-12 to stick around in some format. And then I keep going back. And this is the one thing that you know, working with other Illini guy, Larry Smith, whose background is CNN and NBA TV. It does. I keep thinking that, you know, just because these guys get a playoff spot doesn't mean that somebody wants to pay the Big 12 more than $25 million a team, or something like that. And that's why I think if I was going to bet, and again, if I'm going to bet, folks do whatever I do and then flip it to the opposite and you're going to make money. But if I was going to bet, I would still say they're going to go with four more teams out of the West Coast, which will allow you to have a pod, whatever you want to call it out there, which would keep some of the people who say, hey, the travel for the non-revenue teams is insane, and it kind of keeps that down a little bit. And you could offer Oregon, Washington, Stanford, and Cal or Utah or Colorado. You could offer them $50 million a year, which would be a half share of the Big Ten, and they're still $25 million potentially over what they would get in the Pac-12. So there's a part of me that's like, the ACC's at least got some a nice revenue stream until 2036, so they're going to at least survive unless ESPN sees an opportunity. I guess that's the one thing. Yeah. But, boy, we look at North Carolina and you start putting the triad there, you know, and you look at all the TVs in Charlotte, you get that area, and then you look at Virginia with the TVs there and going into DC. And to me, it's like those two schools, they move the needle that even if I'm the Big Ten, the second that I even sniff that there's any weakness in the ACC, I'm on their doorstep so fast it'll make your head spin.
Yeah. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And again, before they expanded the playoff, I thought that's what where we're heading. Yep. And then it's a domino deal where if the Big Ten grabs Virginia, now the SEC is more interested in Virginia Tech because you don't want the Big Ten to have a flag in Virginia and you don't.
Yeah.
If the Big Ten grabs Carolina, now all of a sudden the SEC is more interested in NC State.
Yep.
Not because they want NC State, but because you can't have one league with a flag there and you don't answer. So I thought that would be kind of the thing that drove all of this. But again, now you look at two things. You look at one, the access to the playoff, and two, and people overlook this a lot, including me, there's a tremendous value to ESPN in the Pac-12 because ESPN loves to fill inventory, especially during basketball season, in those late night slots.
Yep.
Right? I mean, think about, you know, you and I get done working, get done writing a game story, whatever it is, covering a game, and grab something to eat. And then I throw on the TV, and who am I watching? I'm watching the games out west.
Yes.
Now, that doesn't have a tremendous value to society, yeah. But it's got a tremendous value to ESPN, who needs inventory in those slots. And it was one of the things the ACC dealt with during COVID. There was, I thought, a real, in some ways, inappropriate pressure to play games for these teams because the ACC network needed inventory. So while it's not going to bridge the gap in terms of the millions of dollars, I think ESPN does see some value in ACC basketball. And I think they see some value in the Pac-12 because of the time slot and wanting inventory that can play there. And I think that's the thing that's going to keep those. And it's why we heard some rumblings about an ACC Pac-12 pairing. Because if it's just about filling basketball inventory, well, okay, mash them up together and you got it. And now you're filling your inventory. I think common sense prevailed there, saying it doesn't make a lot of sense for UVA to be playing regular season games against UCLA. Well, now not, but Oregon, Washington, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But from a TV inventory standpoint, those games are valuable.
Yeah. And there's a lot of rumblings from Big Ten sources that they've got escalation clauses in this deal for bringing in. And I'm assuming that if Kevin Warren is as smart as he appears on, you know, his latest interview on Bryant Gumbel's show, they probably pretty much have an idea of, like, if you add this team, that's the revenue that'll come in. Right. And there's a lot of rumblings that they've got a Big Ten After Dark football and basketball package already, if they have that West Coast group all ready to go, and then ESPN might still bid on that. And I think Kevin Warren would love to have him in there because he is doing, if you look at it, he's doing the total NFL model. What people really understate, and it's kind of amazing to me, I'm just a dude, but when I look at it, I'm like, it's so genius because he's got Fox, he's got, you know, NBC, he's got CBS. Who are people watching all day long on Sunday? They're watching the NFL on those stations who will be advertising the Big Ten. Right. And to me, it's like the only one he's missing is Monday Night Football. And so if you get that late night package together, and if you can get ESPN to bid on it, now you've got all the NFL purveyors who will be advertising your sport for you. And I think you'll quickly see the college football playoff and the SEC contracts will now look like what the Big Ten's doing, because it just makes too much sense.
Yeah, no, that does make a lot of sense. And it is one of those deals where the question, ESPN ends up being a wild card, right? Because we saw with the NHL, when they signed that weird contract with the Outdoor Life Network.
Yep.
And said, well, our games are on more, but you didn't get the extra exposure you get from ESPN. So can Fox now carry it enough? And you just mentioned with the NFL, I think you can. Can they make up the fact that now maybe, and ESPN will deny it, but they will. They're going to downplay their games. They're going to hype up, just like they always have. They're going to hype up their products, their the things they own a stake in. But now has Fox and Kevin Moore, have they gotten together and put together something that counters that, that doesn't make not being the lead story on SportsCenter the biggest deal anymore? And I think they have. And it's why the SEC against the Big Ten is so fascinating, because you have these heavyweight TV partners. And it's why people thought, hey, maybe they're just going to go double super conference. But again, I think the fact that they allowed the playoff to expand and they allowed access for everyone tells me that that's not the model they're pushing for, at least in the next 4 years or so.
Yeah, I think the playoff expands and the Big Ten and the SEC are happy until they go, wait a minute, Miami is, you know, Miami's only 8-4 and they're in this, and you know, our fourth place team is 10-2 and we want to be in there. The crazy thing about this is with this expansion, which, you know, Jim Delaney kind of turned it on with the whole Big Ten Network years ago, but now the expansion is almost as big of a talk subject as the games themselves.
Oh yeah,
it's just amazing. Well, I tell you what, I have loved our discussion here. Is there any, you got a prediction for us on the game this week before we head out of here?
So I've been struggling with this one, just because I don't know what we're going to get from Virginia. But from what I've seen, which is all you can base it on so far, I like Illinois in a close one. I don't think Virginia will be able to stop the run for four quarters. I think Virginia will do a nice job bottling up the passing game. I think they will limit big plays. I think Brandon Armstrong will be good for a couple big plays in this game, either his legs or through the air. But I think ultimately in the fourth quarter, you're going to see Illinois wear down that Virginia defense, be able to put on one of those 12 play, 80 yard touchdown drives. And I don't know that Virginia is going to be able to answer. I think they're going to have some trouble protecting Brandon Armstrong in this one. And I think they're going to have a lot of trouble on run defense. So I've got Illinois winning this game by a field goal. I know the line's been moving. It was 4.5 when I saw it. I thought that was too much,
yes.
But I like Illinois. If you gave me Illinois 2.5, I would take them to cover that. I think Illinois wins this game by a field goal.
Yeah, I was just on one of our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have a radio show that's on 21 stations across Illinois, and I was on WJBC in Bloomington, and I just predicted a Illinois by 2. But a lot of that's wishful thinking, and a lot of that I still think of Armstrong last year, and it's a little scary. But we're gonna go for it and see if I'm right. I tell you what, Mike. Where, if people want to follow you, where can they find your stuff? Where can they get your stuff? I will tell you, I followed Mike. I've been, you know, on his Twitter page. I've been reading his articles. Excellent stuff. If you're a Virginia fan, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, if you just are from that area and you enjoy that, those teams, a must follow. But where can people find your stuff at?
Thank you. Yeah, well, you can read me at richmond.com. That's the Richmond Times-Dispatch website, richmond.com. My Twitter is RTD_MikeBarber. And then David Teal, the Hall of Fame writer out here, he and I host a podcast as well, drops every Tuesday, the Teal and Barber podcast. So if you like me, you can get plenty of me. And if you don't like me, you're in trouble in Virginia, because there's a lot of me out there.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, sir. We really appreciate it. And folks, hope you got a little bit of a better idea of just what the Illini are facing on Saturday. And we are looking forward to seeing that game. And it should be an exciting one. Thank you very much. And go Illini. And of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, please listen to our other podcast. Sturdy for 30 is our award-winning podcast done by Brad Sturdy. Supposed to be 30 minutes long, but that's more of a suggestion. It's not like a commandment. So check that podcast out. We also have Ked's Recruiting Roundup. That's where Kedrick Prince talks all about what's going on with the recruits, the players, the families, the coaches of the recruits, and what it's like to have to be a Big Ten or Illinois recruit. It's a lot of fun. We also have, of course, IlliniGuys.com. That's what powers this whole thing. IlliniGuys.com. It is a $99 a year, and you can get all the news, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago. You live halfway across the country, halfway across the planet. IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Please go ahead there. $99 a year. You don't get billed until the seventh day, so you can kick the tires and see if you like the car, so to speak. We also have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's our show that's on 21 stations across the state of Illinois. Please go ahead and take a listen to that. If you want to, you can also search for the podcast, Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That drops every Saturday after all of our stations have had it on the air. You can go to IlliniGuys.com, hit the radio button, and see what city, what day, and what time it's on. All we ask you do is if you listen to it and you enjoy it, please call up your station and tell them thank you for having us on. That would help us out immensely. And, of course, we have our other venture, BigSportsRadio.com. That is a free website that does Big Ten sports. You can go there and you can just register. It's free. And you can go back into the message boards and argue with other Big Ten fans on what's going on in the Big Ten. Plus, we have original content, and there are a lot of things there. And you can also listen to Big Sports Radio, which is our two-hour extravaganza, very similar to the Sports Spectacular, but it goes on a bigger Big Ten basis. And you can find that on a podcast at noon as well, when all of our stations from Nebraska all the way out to Pennsylvania, when they get done running it at noon, we'll plop that out there for people to listen to as well. So you can listen, be ready for all the Big Ten games, as well as the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, getting you ready for Illini stuff. So with that, I'm going to say farewell, and let's hope the Illini do well. Go Illini on Saturday. Thank you.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.